Hey guys, I'm your host, Ricky Chavez, and today on Battle Ready, we're going to be talking about something very powerful, a powerful message about success identity. You know, redefining the meaning of achievement. Our guest, Clint Honeycutt, brings 30 years of experience in health, safety, and environmental leadership and major global organizations. I guess it's the traveling I just did recently. But he's also was in the Navy for quite a few years. And what we're going to do a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about today is, what is success? Hey, Clint, welcome today.
Hey, thanks, Ricky. Appreciate you having me.
You know what? I know that didn't look good at the beginning, but you know, every once in a while I get tongue-tied, but that's the beauty of being the host. I guess you can do what you got to do. You know, we were talking the other day, and I've known you for quite a long time. You've got such a quite array of experience and things that you've done in the past. And you know, I know we talked the other day, and they're 51 and retired. Did you think you're going to be 51 and retired?
Actually, you know, the answer is yes.
Okay.
And I kind of modestly say that.
Okay.
In that, it was, you know, when I was in my 20s, it was one of those things where my father was over 50, and he was just starting to save for retirement, and in those conversations, he's like, you know, make sure that you're always thinking about retirement and saving, because time, the more time you have, the more likely it is to actually happen. So with that, I made a goal and didn't even realize that I made a goal. And the goal was, and I started saying it, which was, I'll retire at 50.
And how did you decide on what your goals were? You know, what does from the top of the mountain to no mountain mean to you?
Yeah, so when I think about the top of the mountain, I think of, especially as it applies into goals, I think that that's the pinnacle, right? That's the pinnacle of success. I reached the top of the mountain. And you know, with reaching the top of the mountain, that brings, you know, everything you ever want, happiness. It brings all the stuff that you want and all those other things that you defined as success. And when I think of to the top of the mountain, then through my journey realizing there actually is no mountain. It's actually just goals that you're reaching, and the main thing about life is actually the journey, not necessarily reaching a peak necessarily.
You know, I think one of the interesting things that we talked about in the past was, I remember you telling me about being 17 and being on your own. And back then, your definition of success was, man, I need to make $50,000. When I make $50,000, that's going to be success. And how do you feel about what defines success and what it really means in your life now?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Just as I decided I was going to retire through just conversations, and then all of a sudden it just became my mantra, something that I had in my head and continued to say over and over, and then it's become a reality. So was success, right? I think that at 17 years old, 15 years old, and really coming from humble beginnings, and I was living on my own at the time, I think, like, hey, look, if I can just live in a house, if I can drive a car that's reliable, if I can go out to eat every now and then and not have to worry about paying bills or not paying bills, you know, that's what success would look like. And then in my mind as a, you know, 17-year-old on his own, if I could make $50,000, you know, life would just be good. I would be happy. And the reality was that, you know, shortly after I got out in the world and actually started making real money and doing real things, $50,000 was hit, and you would go, okay, well, now I'm happy. And that's kind of what I was referring to around the top of the mountain, right? That was the top of the mountain at 17 years old. And when I hit that, it obviously was not the top of the mountain. You kind of look through the clouds and see another mountain, right? And then you go on the journey to that mountain. And really all through my life, when I look at everything that I've done, it's far surpassed anything that I've ever could have imagined at 15, 17 years old.
So you were shooting at a target and the target kept moving. And the cool thing about it is, I think shooting at targets and target moving is scary, but when you're the one moving the target, it may not be as scary. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think it's great to have the target, right? And I think that's an important piece. Equally as important is having a purpose that guides that target, right? About how you get there and what you do and what the journey looks like to get there. And I think of, hitting a target or getting to success really just looks like, you know, taking all the past mistakes, taking the journey of what's been done, and embracing that and accepting it for what it is. It's learnings, it's movement. As long as you're moving forward toward a purpose, then success is there.
So why did other people's opinions once influence your definition of success?
Yeah, look, I've spent a lot of time thinking about that. And I can remember through the years, you know, staying up at night or not being able to sleep and thinking, you know, what is it that makes somebody great, great? What is it that brings them to a place where they, rise above others? Examples would be like Martin Luther King, right? Or Gandhi, or you could put anybody else kind of in that category, but what makes them them and makes them great? And I spent a lot of time worrying about that, kind of thinking about it. Not that I really, you know, pressed to be that necessarily, but I wanted to know what was the recipe to figure out how to get there. And for me, it wasn't about, you know, being famous or, you know, reaching that status where everybody knows your name type of status. It was more about just being happy and living the best possible life that I can live.
So how did you shift from am I enough to self-defined success?
Yeah, look, I think, good question. It's just through working on myself, being able to, one of the things that I struggled with early in my career and a lot of people struggle with is just sitting with yourself and listening to what's inside you versus, you know, chasing a dream, money, or other things. So that's what I did. I really kind of sat back, listened to what was inside of me, and made the shift from worrying about what others thought and really listening to my gut and moving toward my purpose, not somebody else's.
So, that brings to mind some. Yesterday I was teaching a class to a bunch of realtors, and we were talking about time management and, you know, what you need to do every day to be successful. And, you know, everybody was telling me all these different things. And then I asked them, you can tell me anything, but if you look in the mirror, you can never lie to yourself, right? You can make up things that you want to believe, but unless you embrace the truth and be honest with yourself, it's like, how are you going to make any changes? How are you going to get better? I know both of us in the military, we remember us doing our evaluations on our seamen or our soldiers, and you try to tell somebody that they're not meeting the mark, right? And in most cases, you know, you always have them do their self-evaluation, and their self-evaluation is here, and maybe what you've evaluated them on is here, and this never matters until they do that self-check and really understand, okay, maybe I'm not as great as I'm doing 100%, but 100% is the job, right? But to be that person that you want to be, that's kind of what you were doing. You were doing that self-check, right? And saying, okay, I've hit this mark, but is that the mark? You know, I know I'm looking at some of the information that you provided me, and one of the questions that really hits me is, what does living life on your own terms look like? You know, how do you get there and do that through your self-checks all the time?
Yeah, so look, it's one of those things that's really tough is to to really look inward and not necessarily, look inward without, you said truth, right? What you're looking in the mirror and looking for the truth. Truth's a tricky thing, right? It's one of those things that the truth is the truth as you know it today. As you work on yourself, the truth might change. It might, it might start with, I can never do that. And then as you develop and as you change and you get better at certain things, then it becomes possible. Once it becomes possible, then the truth is, I can do it. But then once you can do it, it starts to happen. So I think when you think of, moving in a direction to move from what the social norms and what the society expects you to do and looking inward to really move in a good direction that is set for your purpose and for you, that's when you really start to see the difference.
Okay, guys, up next, we'll dive deeper into Clint's story and ask whether he considers himself successful and how the definition has evolved across his life and his career. We'll be right back after this commercial. Welcome back to Battle Ready. You want more inspiring conversation like this one? Stay connected with us and all of our Now Media TV favorites, live or on demand, anytime. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS for anywhere you want to go. If your program is in English and in Spanish, you can also watch us and follow us. Or catch the podcast version anytime on www.nowmedia.tv. From leadership and business to personal transformations, Now Media TV streams 24/7, so you never miss a moment. Welcome back to Battle Ready. We're with Clint Honeycutt, and we're diving into the deeper meaning of success. Clint, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we talked a little bit about defining the mountain, right? You had an extraordinary life journey from humble beginnings to global leadership roles. Let's talk about how you see yourself through your lens of success today.
Yeah, when you think about, the question being is, do I consider myself successful, right? I mean, that's the question. And it's one of those things that a lot of people don't feel comfortable answering, right? Because most of the time the answer is just no. I'm not successful, mm-hmm. right? Because you see maybe something that somebody's got more, somebody's got something different, somebody's a champion at something, whatever it is, and I haven't done that, so therefore, maybe I'm not successful. And I think if you look at, I'll just kind of give my life highlights, right? And we've already kind of talked about my definition of success at 17 years old, right? $50,000,
right.
I've got a car that runs, a house to live in, and I get to go eat every now and then.
Right, okay.
Right? I mean, that was success. So by that definition, absolutely, I am successful.
Right, okay, right? Okay.
Now, when we look at the rest of it, that's not really my answer,
okay.
Right? It's got to be somebody else's answer. So from me, yes, I am successful. I hit everything that I started out to hit in the very beginning, and then 100 times more. So I'm successful.
Okay.
Now, whether anybody else thinks that or not is not my, it's not within me to determine that, right? If we just kind of do a highlights, right? Like, on my own at 15, if we think about career-wise, military, Navy, Army National Guard, Navy during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, did a deployment on an aircraft carrier, Army, heavy equipment operator, part of several humanitarian efforts. Then I was an entrepreneur. I was a co-founder of a company. I then ran the company for several years, very successful. Got into the, I'll call it the corporate oil and gas world.
Right.
And moved through, from a career standpoint, started working offshore, moving through a career to then be a global director of health, safety, and environmental. In that journey, I've lived around the world. I've traveled the world, been around the world several times. I've spoke at conferences. I've seen as industry expert. I've got certifications, all of those things. And if you think about family, I've been married for 28 years. I've got a daughter that's 26. She's successful. She's in the Navy. She's doing her thing. She's off and on her own. In our family, we've never been homeless. We've ate. No violence. All of those things that I think of when I think of success, family-wise, that's there. Now, not that I'm perfect by any stretch of the imagination,
okay, right?
I think that when you look at perfection around that, there really isn't any example of that. It's only do you do the things for your family with love, right? I mean, and that's kind of been my guiding principle associated with that. So not perfect, but that's where we're at. When you think of other things that people see as success, financial stability. We talk about career education. I've got a bachelor's degree, I've got a master's degree, I've got certifications in my profession. I've got the highest certification within my profession. So there's that. Earlier this year, I retired at 51, and now it's just kind of figuring out what's next for me. So, with all that said, that's kind of a quick summary, but, is that successful?
So what I would say to that is that old adage, right? Success is in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, if you think about it, right? Everybody's definition of success is different. I know that in my eyes, I don't know if it's that you're successful, or maybe I'm a little jealous. When I call you, I'm like, yo, what are you doing? You're on your boat surfing or whatever the heck you're doing. I'm like, shit, I said, shoot, I need to be doing that, right? I think success is being happy with yourself on where you're at. Well, how do you feel about that?
No, I think that's, that's a great definition, right? Is being happy. And what specifically does that mean, right?
Sure.
Does that mean that, you've got a job and you're making $1 million a year? Does it mean that you don't have a job and you live on the street? I mean, it's you can define it any way that you want to define it. As you said, I am the beholder, right?
100%, right?
And I think that for me, it's living life without shackles. And when I say that,
I like that.
I think, and I'll speak for me, is that I've been shackled for the majority of my life in some way. And when I say shackled, is that, if I want to achieve, I've got to do X, and I'm shackled to doing that. I'm shackled to, when I was 24, 25 years old, as an example, I can pick any of the years before this year. I was shackled to go to work. If I wanted that boat, or if I wanted the house, or if I wanted my family to eat, that's what had to happen. I was shackled to it. I'm shackled to, I've got to pay taxes. If I don't pay taxes, I end up in jail. It's those things that I was shackled with. And I think, several years ago, I started recognizing those shackles and what it was doing. And where I was chasing cars and houses and boats and all these things, realized that, if I simplified my life and actually just worried about what makes me happy at that particular time and minute, and actually sit back and listen to what's inside of me, listen to my gut, things start to fall in place. And for me, that's what's happened.
So what would you tell somebody, let's say, now we're going to go into different terms, the young person that's just getting ready to graduate college, or maybe that mid-level corporate person, what kind of stuff would you say? What guidance would you give them to help them determine what their success would be?
Yeah, I think if you're looking for, I don't know, I'd say just kind of the key learnings from my journey, because I think everybody's journey is a little bit different, right? And I can really only speak to mine in an educated way anyway. I think there's really about five key things that kind of break down of what I learned from my journey and from where I started and where I'm at today. And the first is really to know your purpose. That should be your guiding principles around your journey. For me, it was a guiding principle around my journey. It was the purpose of what I was, or why I was doing what I was doing. And as part of that is defining success as well, because you still need to do those things to move you closer to whatever success looks like for you today. Keeping in mind that it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be written in concrete either. It changes as you change. So that would be one. And the second would be goal setting. I think if you've defined success and you're moving toward that, both short-term and long-term goals are important to make sure that you're moving in the right direction in the right way. And again, your purpose is your guiding principles around that. The third, and I would say there's probably some different pieces within this, which is just to enjoy the journey. A lot of times we get so caught up in trying to achieve something, you miss all the really cool things that happen in between. So the journey is super important. And a couple things around the journey is, from the military, one of the things that really stood out and I've taken away was to embrace the suck, right? When it just sucks, you embrace that.
Right.
And when it really sucks, but it's aligned with your purpose and it's bringing you towards success, you embrace that, because when it sucks, most people quit.
Right.
And if you don't quit, it makes out the other end is so much better and so much sweeter.
Right, right.
Because it's the piece that most people won't achieve, right? So I think that's a big piece. The other thing about the journey is making sure that whatever you do, again, as long as it's aligned with the purpose and the success, do it at 100%. Be the best you of whatever you're doing. And if you're doing that, you attract certain things, right? One, you attract opportunities, because if you're really good at digging a ditch and you're the best ditch digger ever,
right?
People are gonna seek you out and there'll be other opportunities for you at some point. Equally, people will gravitate to you if you commit 100% and you're good at what you do.
Right.
The good people will want to help you get better, and that's key.
So I think what we're gonna do is we'll get ready to go into commercial real quick. We'll come back and talk a little bit about that. I definitely want to talk about that. Embrace the suck, guys. We'll be right back with Clint Honeycutt. Welcome back to Battle Ready. In the last couple of episodes, we've explored Clint's journey and his evolving definition of success. Now we shift to the powerful lessons that have been learned along the way. Lessons that apply to anyone striving for better versions of themselves. And Clint, welcome back.
Thank you, Ricky.
You know what? I'm going to go back to the embracing the suck. You're right. A lot of people, when the going gets tough, they go, right? And you said something that was pretty amazing about embracing suck, that you got to stand up and just keep going. But before we do that, if somebody's in that transition trying to figure things out, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, look, the only connection that I have is on LinkedIn. So I think probably maybe a LinkedIn message or something like that would be what I would prefer.
Well, you know, the cool thing about it is, you know, and I put him out there, guys, just because, you know, he's retired. You know, he's newly retired. So he's doing a lot of surfing, this, that, and the other. But I'm sure he'll eventually go check his LinkedIn. He's still trying to figure out what's next. And I always make this joke, and I think we've known each other for a long time. I always say, what I'm going to do when I grow up. And right now, you're in that place right now, in a perfect place for you right now, right? And so whenever you decide to come start looking and maybe get tired of surfing or whatever it is you're doing today or tomorrow, you know, please reach back out to them. So let's go back to embracing the suck, man. So give me an example of something that you did that really sucked and you were like, man, is it worth it? But you did it. You drove right through it.
Yeah. Well, look, several things, right? I think if you think about education, let's go there. So I was a junior at Southeastern University, getting my degree in criminal justice, and my father comes to me and says, hey, look, I've got an idea. I'm starting a business. I need some help. Will you come start it with me? Right? And we were starting from nothing, just him and I, and you know that's going to be a grind, right? You don't know, I didn't know anything about any of that. Military career, up to that point, only 4 or 5 years. Then to look at going and starting a business. So I quit school, went and did that. At some point during my career, I decided that others around me had degrees and I needed a degree as well. So although having been successful and actually in a successful job after that as well, where I didn't have to have a degree in the job that I was in, and I was making a lot of money, I just decided to embrace the suck and go to school. So at that time, I was working offshore, and we were doing about 16-hour days on a 14-day stint. But then I'd come back, spend some time with the family, then go back out and do the exact same thing again. So made a decision I was going to embrace it and you know, started school work on top. So I was working 16 hours, do 4 hours of school. Then little sleep, then get up the next day and do it all over again, right? And as I finished up my bachelor's, I thought about it and was like, you know what, if I don't continue on and get a master's, I looked and seen the successful people around me had master's degrees. And when I say successful, I mean two levels above me. And to be in those conversations, you've got to have a master's degree. And, you know, I had to either tell myself either I want to be there or I don't. And if I don't, then great, go about your wonderful little life and continue on, or embrace another, you know, 2 or 3 years worth of grind. And I embraced 2 years, 3 years of grind. And then I said, you know, if I want to get a certification, I'm already grinding. I was already doing it. And I was worried that if I stopped, then I just wouldn't finish. So I went and did that. So that's what I mean by, you know, embracing the suck.
You know, I can actually speak to that. You know, I had left the military. So I was in college also. And, you know, me and school wasn't the greatest fit to each other.
Me neither.
So next thing I know, I remember studying really hard for this test. And I thought I was ready for it. And I scored like, man, that's like 1,000 years ago, I still remember I scored a 56. I was in the military recruiting office like the next week. I came home from college and told my parents I'm leaving the basic training in a week, and they about threw a fit. And then I did my career in the military, took a couple classes here and there, went to work for FedEx, and I was traveling all the time. And I was in that same mode as you were, right? I was like, to make little bit more money, I need a bachelor's degree. To get into those conversations, I need this. And that was back when they put more emphasis on education. Even I had all the experience and I was doing really well, but they wanted that education. So I remember traveling and them 4 hours. And it's funny you said 4 hours. My thing was from 9 to 1, 9 p.m. to 1, every night I studied. I'd have a house full of people. I'd excuse myself. I'd go up and study. And that sucked for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I got my MBA at 46 years old. So basically what you're saying and what I'm saying to everybody is you're never too old to go back to school, right? Or in every situation. So, man, the education is important to you. But I think nowadays people also take in a lot of interest in what your skills are, right? Education, I mean, it's important to have that piece of paper, but your skill set's also really good, right? What did knowing your purpose and defining success teach you?
Well, I think it had it, you know, I have, just the person I am, I have structured thoughts, right? As long as I can see the end or I know what my end looks like, I can figure out the pieces I need to get there. When I don't know what the end looks like, the pieces to get there, it bothers me that I'm going to be inefficient getting wherever I want to go. If you don't know where you're going and you're just wandering and you luckily kind of bump into things that then put you in a place, you can always look back and go, you know, if I would have seen these signs or if I would have done this, the path would be a straight path to the end. And when I think about, I told you, I stayed up late nights thinking about, you know, what do great people do to make them great? And I think it's, one, they have to have opportunities. And whether that finds them or whether they find that, you have to have opportunities. The other thing you have to have is preparation for when those opportunities come. And that was the example I gave with the college and the master's degree, right? Is that did I need it? Did I have to have it to make $50,000 a year and do what I wanted to do?
Sure.
No, right? But if I want it to be, I had bosses that I didn't like and I didn't think that were good leaders and all these things. And my driver was that I can do that better. Well, I can do that better, but my skills alone will not get me there. I've got to put in the effort and the grind to do the things that would then get me into the conversations and then my skills could get me there, right? And I believe that, but to your question is that, I think that the purpose and defining success is extremely important from getting to point A to point B in the most efficient way. And the reality is that, you know, if you're really clear about the purpose and the what success looks like today, thinking about the goals and things that get you there are a little bit easier. Now, before we went to the commercial break, I was talking about enjoying the journey. I talked about embracing the suck. I talked about giving 100% in whatever you do. The other thing that I would say, and I've been working since I was probably about 23, 24 years old, is I made a commitment to myself that every year I would do something to get me better. So, you know, most people like, I want to take a vacation every year. I want to do these things. From early on, it was about me getting myself better. So early on in my career, and not just in career, but in just personal growth, I took time to make sure that I set time aside to make goals to get better every year, do something specific to get better. And I think that's important for the journey is that you're seeing progress.
So share with the last, going into last year, what was that one thing you wanted to do? Can you remember?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And it's actually something that's I'll call it a little controversial, but nonetheless. And look, I've done some, I'll call it in most people's minds, some kind of crazy stuff, right? When I'm talking about personal development, I think of things like, I've had executive coaches, I've had the opportunity, I've had hypnotists, I've had, therapists, all of those things. There was nothing off the table that I would read and research, and if I thought had an opportunity to be better, I would. The one thing that I did recently was I did a ceremony in Costa Rica with ayahuasca, so with a shaman and did that to remove ego and just to be enlightened. And that was one of the last things that I did.
Man, I really want to, before we're going to get ready to go into commercial, but I really want to talk about how that even came to being. Guys, we'll be right back with Khalid Honeycutt. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Don't miss another powerful episode. All available live and on demand through the free Now Media TV app and on Roku or on iOS. If you prefer podcasts, listen to Battle Ready anytime at www.nowmedia.tv. Now Media TV brings you 24/7 programming across business, leadership, life, and culture. Always here when you need it. You know, we've been here for the last three segments. We're closing today with the last episode with Clint Honeycutt. You know, he shared so much wisdom from his journey and how he's been and came to where he was. And we're going to come back into what he said in the last episode about traveling to Costa Rica. And I mean, you know, you saw my face. I was like, and I've known you for a long time. So tell me about that. How did you make that decision? And I mean, if you feel like it, why?
Yeah, I'm glad to share. Ricky actually knows that I did a lot in the veteran space for mentoring soldiers and others from the military, transitioning from military to civilian. And I met a lot of great people, Ricky, one of those included. And as I was on that journey, ayahuasca kept showing up. It would show up in many different ways, and through different organizations. And I saw that it would change the way people saw themselves and saw reality in life in general.
How do you mean?
I mean, so if you think about, I'll call it a tribe in the middle of a jungle, and they have a ritual that when a boy becomes a man, or at a certain age, a woman becomes a girl becomes a woman. That there's a ceremony that they do that kind of removes all ego and outside noise, kind of what the world expects and all of those things, and allows them to sit with who they are and determine, what life looks like for them. And if you read about ayahuasca, peyote, there's a number of different hallucinants that are out there that have been used for thousands of years. And when I started reading and looking into it, it just felt right. I mentioned that part of the journey is, sitting with yourself and looking within. And when something feels right, no matter what the cost, right? I talked about embracing the suck. Whatever it's going to cost you. I'm not talking about just financial. I'm talking about whether somebody's going to think you're crazy or whether whatever it is, right? You when I make that commitment and I commit something to that I believe can get me or can help me move along my journey, then I'm in. And it happened. And my when I decided to do it, I said, okay, I was only going to do it if I go to Peru, go up the Amazon in the middle of nowhere, and go with sit with the tribe, have a shaman, and do this experience.
Okay.
Right? That was, you know, for me, that felt right. And then COVID happened and a number of other things, and I just didn't feel comfortable doing that for obvious reasons. And so anyway, after a couple years, it was still calling to me. It would show up at different times. And I said, screw it, I'm going to do it. And I didn't care what it took. And I found somewhere online in Costa Rica, made the commitment, paid the money, showed up, place. I didn't know anybody, didn't know where I was. And, you know, one of the funny things about that story was that I was there going down to the first ceremony, and the whole group's about to go down, and we're about to go down and drink the cup, and whatever was going to happen was going to happen. I had no idea. The guy that was leading it said, you know, he was telling us about it and all this other stuff, and he said, I wonder if this is how the cult in California felt before they drank the Kool-Aid and died. And he laughed, thinking it was kind of funny, but I all of a sudden had this moment of,
what am I doing here?
What am I doing here? Right? everything led me that way, but what am I doing here? Am I making the right decision? And it was either going to be the greatest thing ever, or it was going to be, I could just read my obituary. You know, man has everything, loving family, this, that, and the other, and dies in the middle of nowhere drinking Kool-Aid.
Right.
Right. It was the other. It was the best experience that I ever could have had.
You know, I think one of the things that you alluded to is hindsight's 20/20, right? So seeing your past, you know, and trying to correct. I mean, you can see it. But one of the things that I'm catching from your message now is it's not the past, it's the future. You can't see into the future, so the best way to do it is set your goals and set your make sure you align your goals with your purpose. But I guess the first thing is to figure out what your purpose is. So what advice do you have for people at different phases of their journey right now? What would you kind of share with them?
Yeah, well, just really quick, I do want to let me run through there was five things I think that I've learned. So we talked about the three, which was knowing your purpose, defining success, enjoying the journey, goal setting, and then enjoying the journey. The other two is helping others and allow others to help you, which is pretty self-explanatory. However, I would say that if you can mentor somebody or accept somebody that you see that's in a spot where you'd want to be, accept them as a mentor and be able to do it. It doesn't have to be formal, but just the mentorship is really key. And then the last thing is question everything. And what I mean by question everything is when you think something's right, spend some time with yourself to kind of reflect and see if it's right for you, or is it right because of circumstances around you that other people are pushing you to. So with that, and I think that's important because you say, what advice would I give somebody else? And the advice that I would give is everybody's at a different port of their journey. And so although I talked about five things, there's nothing in there that, that may fit your journey, or maybe there's several things in there that fit your journey. I would say the key thing is really the last thing that I talked about, which was the fifth one, which was basically question everything. I think a question everything is sit with yourself to be able to make sure what you do actually fits your purpose and what success looks like for you.
Man, I definitely need to work on the last one, the questioning. That's a pretty good one. But I want to come back to the mentoring and being mentored. I think people feel there might be a weakness in asking somebody to mentor them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's really, it's hard to do. And then when you ask, it's almost like you want to formally do something that you don't fully understand what it looks like, and you don't want to burden somebody else, right? And when I think of mentoring in general, I've really embraced that early in my career. And, you know, look, I am super lucky to have great relationships that have formed either organically or something that I sought out. I saw something in somebody that I liked and I wanted to be more like that. So I sought that relationship out. But no matter what, I have been so much better for those relationships. And in addition to that, having had jobs where I've had big teams, global teams working, with me, and really that I was supporting that team, I spent most of my time mentoring and sharing experience. And with mentoring, I always got out more than what I give. The time that I give is super small versus the reward that I get back. And most people think that when you think about mentoring, that that it's a big ask of somebody. But it's actually just a privilege and a learning opportunity. That's the way that I look at it.
No, I totally agree. I mean, most people like to talk about themselves and help others, right? And I think that a lot of people, when you mentor others, you learn a lot, not mm-hmm. just about what you're sharing with them, but by the questioning part, it may have you reflect more about why you're saying the things you're saying if you're really trying to mentor somebody, right? So what final message would you want to share with the viewers out here?
Yeah, look, I think everybody's journey is different. One of the hard things, and again, I talked about sitting quiet with yourself. The world today is not quiet. And most people just don't feel comfortable sitting and just being with themselves. So if you don't, I would start, again, question everything. I would start questioning why that you don't feel comfortable sitting with yourself. If you don't feel comfortable sitting with you, I mean, nobody else is going to feel comfortable sitting with you either. So really to look inward and spend time. That piece for me has been key. And when I've listened well to what is inside me, things turn out better. I talked about shortening the gap between where you want to be and where you're at. That's the straight line. It's already in you. It's just listening and moving. Everything else works itself around you.
And I think the one thing I got out of this whole show is that questioning is, and it's not questioning it, but why it doesn't fit you. Doesn't make it wrong. We're not trying to find fault in it, but why it is, and you may not be in the same. And that's actually pretty powerful. You know, Clint, thanks for sharing your story, your perspective, and your heart today. Your journey is pretty remarkable. I've known you for a long time, and I know when I get ready to talk to you, I know it's going to be a very insightful conversation because you're very thought provoking. I mean, and I really appreciate that. Guys, thanks a lot for joining us. Clint, thanks for being here. Guys, hope to see you again on Battle Ready.